Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? So glad to see each and every one of you. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean, and I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church. Just so thankful to have you in service. Let's give all of our guests a big hand again this morning. Well, today is the first Sunday of another month. It just seems like we keep blinking, and just at least for me, blinking and months are just flying off the calendar, and it's time to start thinking about what gifts you're going to buy your little ones. We're not all that far away from Christmas. Just a nice public service announcement for you. But today, it being the first Sunday of the month, we have at the Lifeway what we call Growth Track. Everybody say Growth Track. All right, so who is Growth Track for? All right. Growth Track is for everyone, and so if you attend the Lifeway Church, if you are considering making the Lifeway Church your church home, I want everyone to go through Growth Track, and so that's going to be right outside of these doors to your right, and just follow the signage. And what Growth Track is a four-step process that we really believe is going to help you discover your purpose and really make a difference in this world. How many of you know that God's called you to make a difference? All right? How many are kind of like, man, I don't really know what that difference is? Anybody here like, man, I really don't know what that's supposed to be? All right, you know, I think all of us, we all kind of wrestle with that. And so if you come through Growth Track, we're going to help you begin that process. And so it's 4 weeks. It'll take less than probably 3 hours total of your time. But if you would come and be a part of that with us, we would be so grateful for you for doing that. Well, I just want to take a moment and just give a big welcome to all of those who will be listening to our message online later today and later this week. Come on, give our online audience a great big round of applause. We love and are so thankful for you. Well, today we are going to wrap up our four-part Man in the Mirror message series. Anybody here enjoyed it so far? Amen. Amen. In week one, we talked about our two most important relationships, which I think all of us would say, well, I know what the first one is. It should be my relationship with God. But the second most important relationship in our lives is actually the one we have with ourselves, and especially how we view ourselves in light of how God views us. In fact, someone in the church sent me some pictures. They were so inspired by that message. They actually made some mirrors where they took those statements that God thinks about them. Another young lady in the church came up to me and said something like, I've wrote those all down there on my mirror. I look at them every morning. And aren't you thankful that God loves you so very much? And then in week two, I taught a very practical message on how to break bad habits. And then last week, Tiffany Venegas, our worship leader, preached a dynamic, life-changing message about spiritual discipline. I don't know about you, but I'm still processing and working through all the things that she shared, and thank you so much for being obedient. It was so good. If you missed any of those, we encourage you, you can catch up on those on our podcast online and just get caught up on them. I know that they will bless your soul. Well, last Sunday evening, kind of late afternoon, early evening, I was driving down 76th Street. I kind of started right near 94 and kind of near where the Pettit is, and I was driving towards home, and I was headed south down 76th Street, right through the heart of West Dallas as trick-or-treating was wrapping up, and there were kids in all sorts of costumes. There were superheroes, and there were princesses. There was the latest animated movie stars, and some of them were so cute as they tried to carry their bag that was overflowing. In fact, I saw one little one drop their bag in the middle of 76th Street, and candy's all over the floor, and they're trying to pick it up, and traffic is coming, and parents are freaking out. But I was watching parents as, you know, how many of you know, like, when you were little, mom and dad kept up a pretty good pace, and it was all you could do to keep up walking with them, you know, and so they're trying to look into their treasures and see what they got at that last house, but meanwhile, you know, dad's, you know, 30 feet already, you know, kind of up the road, but as I continued to drive and taking in, you know, just all these kids so cute and just so, you know, so obviously they're so excited, I was astounded by the number of adults who were dressed up as well. And so it got me thinking, and I started doing some research, and what I discovered while I was preparing for this message today kind of blew my mind. And while this is definitely not a new thing, there's an industry that has exploded in popularity over the last 5 to 10 years, and it's simply referred to as cosplay. Cosplay. Now, how many of you know what cosplay is? Let me see your hands. All right, so, okay. All right, well, I'm going to educate some of you. Cosplay is short for costume play. Where people, and mainly adults, buy, they create, and they wear costumes of their favorite characters. And what they'll do is they'll spend the day becoming, or they'll spend the day stepping into the persona of whoever or whatever character they might be wearing. In fact, last year's Comic-Con convention in New York City sold 250,000 tickets. One agency reports that in 2017, $17.8 billion were spent worldwide on various costumes and wigs. It's estimated that every Halloween, Americans spend $3.4 billion, that's with a B, dollars on costumes alone. And many participants of cosplay will describe the euphoria of being able to kind of, in getting into that character, step away and escape their personal problems. That by putting on a mask or putting this costume on, they're able to assume a different persona, which enables them to kind of have a moment where they can disconnect from reality. And some have described how this experience has led them to feeling more accepted than they typically feel in real life. And while I am not saying that cosplay is wrong, please hear me this morning, nor am I poking fun at those who enjoy dressing up as their favorite anime cartoon character. The truth is, I want you to hear me this morning, that at some point, Monday comes and the mask must be taken off. The costume has to be put on the hanger and stored away for the next time. And for some of us, that's a problem because we stand in front of the mirror and we're not always happy with the reflection that we see. Can anybody say amen to that? And so our key passage for this series is found in James chapter 1, verse 23. And this is what it says. Anyone who listens to the word. Anyone who comes into church and hears a message like the one that Tiffany preached last week, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, they walk away, they go away, and they immediately forget what they look like. In other words, we see something that we're not happy with, but we don't really do anything to change it. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul wrote what is often referred to as the love chapter. Portions of this chapter are quoted at almost every Christian wedding, and it lists all of these amazing habits, all of these incredible traits, things like having faith and things like feeding the poor and things like helping others and things like not being rude. But at the end of this long list of things, it says that you can do all of these things, but without love, it doesn't matter. And it would be so easy to stop reading at the end of all the love stuff, but just 3 verses later, this is going to be our key verse for this message, verse 11, it says this, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, watch this, I put away childish things. Now, I don't know how this plays out in your life, but let me tell you how it works for me. I truly want to live an example of godly love. I wake up every morning and I intend on being selfless, on giving without desiring anything in return. I intend on loving others unconditionally. But when people don't meet my expectations, come on, anybody ever have someone not meet your expectations? Some of you, it happened this morning, didn't it? We'll have altar call in a minute for you, right? But when people don't meet my expectations, when they say mean things, I often find myself lashing out. And while I may not do it to their face, I'm ashamed to admit to you this morning that I will mutter horrible things about whatever or whomever let me down under my breath or very quietly. And for a split second, I feel justified as these vile, ungodly statements, ugly statements, pass through my mind and flow smoothly over my lips. How many of you know those things flow out so easily, right? However, that justification quickly fades, and it's replaced by a feeling of disgust over the condition of my heart. And as I stand in front of the mirror, as I look at the man in front of the mirror, I am horrified many times by the person that I have become. I can relate to the Apostle Paul as he wrote in Romans 7:15, I don't really understand myself. How many of you are thankful for that verse, right? It makes a lot of days make sense. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. And I've walked with Jesus my entire life, and spiritually, I keep waiting. I'm 43 years old now. I keep waiting for the time when I will actually grow into maturity. When I will stand in front of the mirror and like the reflection that I see. Can anybody here relate to that? Come on, help me preach this morning. It's all right. So back to our key verse, 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke. Everybody say spoke. As a child, I understood. Say, I understood. As a child, I thought. Say, thought. As a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. These three things, first blank in your outline, encourage you to follow along, take some notes with us this morning. Our words, our understanding, and our thoughts are the system that regulates our lives. See, what we understand directs our thought life. It directs the way and how we think. How we think affects the way and the words that come out of our mouth, the way that we speak. It affects the way that we live. It affects the decisions that we make. It affects the actions that we take. Proverbs 23:7 really kind of proves this idea. It says, for as he thinks, as a man thinks, where? In his heart, so is he. I can't see this. I can't look at you and see this, but I can see this displayed by your behavior. I can see this displayed by the words that come out of your mouth. I can see this by the way you treat your spouse. I'm preaching good here this morning. And so in my life, there have been hundreds of times where I've cried out to God and I've said, God, I don't want to act this way. God, I don't want to talk this way. God, I don't want to respond to stress this way. God, I'm so sorry. And I can stand up here this morning and tell you with honest heart, my tears of repentance and remorse have soaked the carpeting of countless altar areas and prayer rooms and closets and pillows on my bed. And I beg God to change me. I beg God to change my heart. And I made promises and I've said, God, I'm so sorry. God, I'll never do that again. God, I'll never speak that way to my kids again. And I get up from that place, that encounter that I promise you, it was 100% real. It was a place where God met me there. And in my own willpower, I'll walk away and I'll do good for a little bit. But I always seem to drift back to those things that I said I would never do again. Anybody ever been there before? And so the question this morning is, why, if God met me at the altar, did I go back? Why, if God convicted me to grow up in some areas, did I not follow through? God, why didn't you change me? And herein lies the problem. We're asking and we're waiting for God to do something that he really cannot do. Revelations 3:20 says, look, I have been standing at the door and I am constantly knocking. And if anyone hears me calling him, If anyone hears me and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him and he with me. I want you to understand, while God is always knocking, the key to this verse is that we have to do something. We have a part to play. And I believe that there is a secret hidden right in plain sight in 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. In other words, we're living our lives based on an immature system. But watch this. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Some of us here, probably many of us here, are waiting for a miracle. We're going to God and we're waiting for this spiritual transaction to occur in order to be able to change the deficiency in the man or the woman in the mirror. So many of us are asking God to do something supernaturally when all that we need to do is make the choice to grow up and put away childish things. Come on, tell your neighbor right now, it's time to put it away. Come on, it's time to put it away. I remember when our boys were little. Can't remember even which one it was for sure. I'm going to say it was Josiah because he's not here this morning. But he loved spaghetti, and when he ate it, it was everywhere. You know, it's like, you know, spaghetti sauce eyeshadow. Come on, you guys know what I'm talking about. You know, noodles in his hair and in his ears and up his nose. And like how is this even possible? You know, we'd have that meal and the high chair would be stained for weeks. Moms, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? And we'd clean him up the best we could. Sometimes we just take him to the sink and take the spray and just spray him off like right there over the sink. And we'd get him as clean as we could before he'd squirm away. And hours later, after playing around the house and, you know, we'd be having a good time, we'd say, hey, man, it's time for bed. And so we'd tuck him in, we'd give him kisses, and then all of a sudden we'd notice, hey, what is that? And up under the folds of his neck, we'd discover a piece of a noodle, right? And we're like, are you saving that for later in case you get hungry in the middle of the night? And we laugh because it's cute, because it's funny. But what would your response be this morning if you took Shyla and I out to Carrabba's for dinner and I ate like that? Same behavior, same thing, but most of you would start looking for a new church. You definitely start looking for a new pastor. Why? Because it's not cute anymore. Shyla's been watching our Kidsway directors, Tom and Abby's little girl, Evelyn, who she just had her second birthday, just a sweetheart of a girl, and she provides us a lot of joy in the house. We've been a long time since we've had a little one that small in our home, and a few weeks ago, I came home from an appointment, and so when she heard the door open, it was kind of like flashbacks to when my kids were little, and she ran to see me with her arms outstretched, Andrew, you know, just kind of melts your house and so I heart, and so I swooped down, I picked her up, gave her a big hug and kiss, at which point she promptly passed gas loudly. She looked up into my eyes, she laughed and said, I tooted. And we all laugh because at her age, it's kind of funny. Don't want to go there, but what if after service this morning, I walked up to your pub table while you were eating some coffee and donuts and did the same thing? Not so cute, right? Why? Because at some point, I want you to hear me. It's expected that I grow up and not behave like a child. And can I tell you this morning that the same holds true in our spiritual lives? And I'm preaching right now to somebody. Many of us in this room should be beyond the baby, the toddler, the teenage stage in our spiritual development. We've been walking with Jesus for quite some time. Some of the systems that are guiding our behavior are no longer cute. And this morning, God has shown up and given me a word to share with you that it's time in a spiritual sense to grow up, to begin acting our age, to address the issues that we see with the man or the woman in the mirror, because God has called each and every one of us to walk into spiritual maturity, to mark the world with greatness that He has placed inside of us. We've all been equipped with giftings that will enable us to change the world. But hear me, the problem isn't with your gifting. Most of you in this room already know what your gifting is. The problem is that somewhere along the line, we've refused to walk into maturity. Well, we'd rather play video games and eat pizza all night than get a real job. We'd rather carry the label of being a Christian instead of being transformed into being a mature difference maker. Can I get a good amen, somebody? Amen. And while deep down inside, we know what we want to do. We know what we were called to do. So many of us, we end up repeatedly over and over and over again doing the very things that we hate. And as a result, we end up carrying around all of this baggage. And because we know what we want to do, we know what our calling is, we know what we want, we've learned how to say the right things at the right times. We'll even show up to Growth Track. We'll even sign up to be on the dream team. And we'll show up to serve, and while we may be fulfilling the assignment that God has for us, the load we are carrying causes us not to enjoy the journey. It's not that the journey is bad, but we're trying to walk it, we're trying to carry it, we're trying to go through life carrying stuff that God, quite frankly, has called each and every one of us to move on from. And here's the real thing, the real us, the part that we desperately try to keep hidden, the one that we put masks over while we try to hide it from everyone else, we know to ourselves, it's painfully clear to ourselves. And if we're not careful, this is what will happen. The enemy will cause us to think, well, I might as well quit. I might as well give up. I'm always going to be this way. I'm always going to have to carry this junk around. I'm always going to have to carry this way. But listen, I want to let you know this morning that you don't have to live this way. You just need to change your system. You need to change your system by making the decision to put some stuff away. Tell your neighbor, put it away. Put it away. So in our remaining time this morning, I want to share 5 common immature behaviors that we often observe in children. Those of you that have children in the room, you'll know every single one of these. But what I want to do is I want to draw out potential similarities that affect us in our spiritual lives. The first one, the next blank in your outline is this. Number one, it's self-centeredness. Self-centeredness. A child believes that they are the axis of the universe. Anybody have any kids that kind of think that the world revolves around them, right? You know, like everything goes around them. And I don't know about you, but I can completely relate to this. I have a tendency at times to really love me some me. Come on, don't be lying in church. I know a lot of you in this room love you some you, right? And so in my pursuit of glory, in my pursuit of fame, in my pursuit of money, in my pursuit of rest or education or career, it's so easy for me to choke out what God is trying to do. Because I work hard, I'll begin to justify the exorbitant amount of time that I miss corporate worship or that I don't attend life groups because it's an excuse every semester or I'm too busy to go to encounter night on a Thursday night. Listen, hear me. There's nothing wrong with taking a vacation. We all need to rest and recharge. It's biblical. It's one of the spiritual disciplines that Tiffany talked about last week, and so I'm not referring to that. But how many of us, let me just ask this question, and listen, if this isn't your church, you don't have to hear this, but this, if I'm your pastor and this is your church home, let me ask this question. How many of us would still be employed if percentage-wise we miss the same amount of work that we miss corporate worship? And so God is challenging us this morning. He's asking us this morning. He's saying, hey, Andrew, it's time to change the way that you think, the way that you speak, and the way that you understand. It's time that you once and for all deal with this box, this burden that you've been carrying of self-centeredness, and put it away. Listen, God isn't going to take this away from you at the altar. We've got to make the choice and say, God, you know what? I refuse to live my life carrying this anymore. So instead, I'm just going to put this down over here because I don't have to carry that weight anymore. It's a choice. It's our choice this morning. The second characteristic that we often see in children, number two, is that they are ungrateful. Ungrateful. Children don't understand the cost, and so they fail to show gratitude. Now, we've got amazing kids. I've got three amazing boys, and we usually don't have a problem with this, but I can remember a handful of times doing something special for them where Shyla and I, we invested a lot of time and effort and energy and money on something specifically for them, only to return from that activity and have them never say thank you. Come on, parents, ever experienced that? Come on, let me see your hands, make sure. Yeah, so all you kids, you know, you're not the only ones, right? And that can be so demoralizing, right? It can be so, like, it can hurt our heart. Like, it hurts us inside. But I wonder how many times God up in heaven is wondering, hey, Andrew, are you not even going to say thank you? Don't they understand that I am the one who positioned them in order to receive the promotion they just got with work? Don't they understand that I'm the one who's given them favor? I'm the one who's blessed them abundantly. I've given them wealth. I've given them health. I've given them home. I've given them children. And now, because of all the blessings that I've given them, they're too busy to use their gifts to make a difference in the kingdom. We need to determine. I challenge you this morning, determine not to allow the blessing of the Lord in our lives to be the excuse for not living a life of gratitude. So God is calling some of us here, and he's challenging us this morning, hey, it's time to deal with ungratefulness. It's time to stop carrying this weight around. It's time to put it away. Put it away. Another immature trait that we see in children, number three in your outline, is this. It's greed. Greed. Anybody ever see greed in their children? Come on, somebody needs to smile. Everybody's so serious this morning. I know it's hard, but I'm giving lots of examples so we can laugh about it too, all right? Greed is an unwillingness to share. And several weeks ago, Evelyn and I were playing together with this magnetic building set that she had, and it's got like, I don't know, 50 pieces. It feels like it takes forever to clean it up because they're usually all over the living room. And so I got down on the floor to play with her. I was taking a little break, came up from the office, and so she came up to me and she gave me three pieces out of the 60 to play with. And then we were playing, and I was playing with those, and then after a couple minutes, she came up with her tiny little finger, kind of walked over to, and she pointed her little finger at me and said, "You share." And then she grabbed those three pieces out of my hand and walked away. Abby, if you're in here, yeah, I think she needs a new definition of sharing, right? Greed is a selfish want for something beyond one's need. Proverbs 28:22 says, "The stingy are eager to get rich and are unaware," watch this, "of the poverty that awaits them." And I want you to understand, I wasn't a bully. I let Evelyn take those three pieces, but guess what? I just got up and went back to work. Why? Because nobody wants to be around someone that's greedy. So how's your generosity this morning? Are you following God's financial plan? Are you bringing your tithe to God's storehouse? Are you being generous with your time and with your talent and with your treasure? Are you storing up treasures in heaven through serving? And listen, I want you to understand, for some of us in this room, our greed has caused us to live with our hands in a clenched position like this. And guess what? If your hands are clenched, even if I had a stack of $100 bills to put in your hand, you couldn't grab them, could you, right? Because they just fall off, right? And so, listen, when we live our lives this way, we shut off the ability for God to bless us with more. And I would just challenge us to move to a place of maturity and say, God, I don't want to carry this box anymore. Everything, Lord, that I have is from you. It's all his anyway. And so I'm just going to walk aside and I'm going to set this aside because I don't need to carry that burden anymore. Is this all right this morning? Here's another one. Kids have number four. They have no filter. All of us can think of a time where our kids absolutely embarrassed the fire out of us, right? They often don't know what to say, when to say it, and who to say it to. Come on, somebody say, I know exactly what you're talking about. And the scripture actually has a word for not having a filter, and it's called gossip. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse person, watch this, a perverse person stirs up conflict. And a gossip separates close friends. And listen, if we're not careful, Satan will use you and I as his pawns to cause disunity on our teams and disunity in our church by the words that we choose to speak. Say, well, man, Pastor, I don't ever do anything like that. Well, let me just break it down and make it plain, right? So after service, we pull someone aside and say, can you believe that she just said that? Right? Anybody ever been there before? No, no one in this church, I'm sure. Or we'll pull someone aside and say, hey, I just need to vent. Come on, anybody ever been there? Come on, I've been there. Come on, wow, come on. Yeah, yeah. Or, can I tell you a secret, Stance? Or we'll do it this way. I'm just telling you this so you can pray for them. So then we make it, so we think if we make our gossip spiritual, it's okay then, right? Or as my accountability partner, or as my trusted friend, I want to know what you think about so-and-so, and then we go to leave a vomit heap wherever we speak, right? Come on, let's be better than that. Let's learn to take things to Jesus. Watch how David prayed in Psalms 141:3. He said, take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Listen, just because something is true doesn't mean that it needs to be said. And so if it doesn't glorify God, if it doesn't highly esteem others, listen, I think a lot of us would do well just to learn how to keep this closed. You know, keep a roll of duct tape in your pocket or something. If you just feel the need, just tape your mouth shut, right? And listen, I get it. I understand. There are times that things need to be addressed. Because how many of you in this room have said something the wrong way and the person receiving it has received it the wrong way? And so there are times that that happens. And so when those things occur, listen, Jesus said that offense will come. If you work around me long enough, Noah, I'm going to make you mad. And guess what? You're probably going to make me mad, right? Offense will come. Why? Because we're people. We're good-hearted people, right? But we're not always going to see things the same way. And listen, when that happens, I challenge you, go to Matthew 18. Do you know that Jesus gave us an outline how to handle this? All right? And so if that happens, the first thing that we need to do is just take it to Jesus first. God, is this a major offense? Is this something that I need to just put under your blood and let it go? Or is this something that I need to sit down and talk to Noah? But that's the first step. It's not, hey, let me talk to Nick and let me talk to Jonas and let me talk to Jay and let me talk to you know, whoever. And be, it's just so I can make sure that I feel good about myself before I talk to Noah. No. The way it's supposed to happen, I go to Jesus first. Secondly, I go to Noah. You guys see that? And I deal with it one-on-one. We have a discussion. It's bathed in love. It's covered in prayer. And then if that doesn't work, and sometimes it doesn't, then the next thing we do is we go get an elder of the church. And then there's three of us. And then if that doesn't work, we bring somebody else in. And if that doesn't work, we bring it before the whole church. I've never seen it had to get to that place before. Listen, if we will just follow God's plan, so many of us are walking around and we're carrying this garbage that we don't have to carry. And God's saying, hey, listen, it's time to put our lack of having a filter aside and move on from it. I'm not going to allow myself to be used by the devil. Let me share one more common sign of immaturity that we see in children. Number five, it is a lack of discipline. A lack of discipline. If I can get this out of the bag, these bags are so big. A lack of discipline. Here we go. This lack of discipline shows up, bless you. Shows up in several ways. Shows up in the form of laziness, a lack of motivation, doing the absolute minimum required to get the job done. How many of you have children can say amen to that, right? I'm not going to do anything more than I have to, right? Man, I've seen young kids. They can go into a room, and in like 38 seconds, that place is trashed. Like, it's like a whirlwind. It's almost like a tornado went through that place. But how many of you remember the parent? All right, before it's time for snack, let's clean up the room. Oh, I'm so tired. And they do this like this. They're like trying so hard. Oh, I just need a snack. Oh. How many of you have kids that'll tell you about a 14-hour school project at 8 p.m. the night before it's due? Listen, if we're not careful, a similar lack of discipline can show up in our spiritual lives. And it can show up in our ministry. And so this morning, how are your spiritual disciplines? How are you resting? Are you taking a Sabbath every week? How's your prayer life? How's your Bible reading? How's your time of devotion going with Jesus? When's the last time you attended encounter nights? When's the last time you faithfully attended your life group? When you serve, are you cutting corners? Are you doing the minimum required to still get the job done? Listen, I want to challenge you to remember that those who were responsible for you coming to know Jesus didn't just do the minimum. They reached out to you. They loved us when we were unlovable. They served faithfully in church, week in and week out. Faithful, 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 faithful. Why? Because they understood the fact that you mattered to God. And listen, shame on us if after we've come to God and we get our life all put together, right? We've got the right job and we've got the money coming in. Shame on us if we are too busy to not only do what is required, but also be willing to go what Jesus called going the extra mile. To serve with a sense of pride, to serve with a spirit of excellence. Listen, God is calling us to move on from thinking and behaving like children, to move into being a powerful man or woman of God. But we must make the choice and say, you know what? I'm not going to carry that junk anymore. I am going to be the man or the woman that Jesus Christ has called me to be. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. I want you to really listen. Don't just hear the words. I want you to listen. It says this, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Listen to this list, for men, women as well. For people will be lovers of themselves. Sound like today? Lovers of money. Sound like today? Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Everything on this list sounds exactly like childish behavior. But I want you to catch this. in the last days, people, Christians, will be doing all of those things that I just read. This is why I know. Look at verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. This wasn't a list describing the people far from Jesus in the world. This was a list that was painting a picture of what the church would look like in the last days. In other words, I'm going to come in and I'm going to look the part. I'm going to know when to say amen. I know when to do my thing. And listen, the Holy Spirit, listen, I know this has been a harder message, but I'm preaching this because I love you. The Holy Spirit has come and he's just gently convicting and challenging us. Are you tired of being filled with a form of godliness but not having any power? God wants us to become men and women who've left all that stuff aside, who've moved into maturity and are filled with his power. All these childish, immature behaviors, the fruit of those things, and any, probably we could put another 30 things up in that pile there, the fruit of those characteristics will not stand the test of time. And so what, listen, I'm challenging you this morning, we must never lose sight of the fact that this world, what you see in the here and now, this world is not our home. Yes, we need to be wise with our finances, and yes, we need to set money aside for retirement, but listen, that's not the goal. We are all children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I want you to understand, Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. Listen, right now, God's preparing mansions in heaven for his children that are far grander than anything that you and I could ever possibly accomplish in this lifetime. So keep your eyes focused, not on this, but on who God's calling us to be. As I close, God is asking us to put some things away, to change the way that we speak, to change the way that we understand, to change the way that we think. But like I mentioned at the beginning of this message, it's not something that he can do for us. Most of this is a choice that we need to make. And so this morning, what is it that you need to put away? Come on, ask the Holy Spirit right now. God, what is it that I need to put away to become the man or the woman in the mirror that I have been called to be? There are some in this room this morning. You've walked in, you've never said yes to Jesus, and you know, honestly, your life is falling apart. If you were being blunt, some of you might even say, you know what, my life is just a mess. You've failed so many times and you've thought, you know what, Jesus could never accept someone like me. Jesus could never love someone like me. I want you to know that's a lie from the enemy. And so if you've never said yes to Jesus, if you've never repented, if you've never given your life to him and gotten a fresh start, can I humbly tell you, listen, it's time to quit looking in the mirror only to walk away and put off where you stand with God. So if you're tired of carrying the weight of your ugly habits, I want you to know that you can leave here washed and clean and set free. So all you have to do to receive this new life in Jesus is to repent, surrender, give him your heart. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, if you're ready to make that first step, make that first move towards Jesus, I want you just to lift your hand so I can pray for you. Is there anyone who says, you know what, I'm ready to make that decision today? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Thank you. I see your hand. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. And Lord God, I thank you that you love me enough and that you care about us enough that you left your throne in glory. You took on the form of man. You became a servant. You lived a perfect life, perfect in every way. You were without sin. And so you went to the cross of Calvary. You shed your blood so that we could be set free here today. And so, Lord God, for every hand that was raised, Lord, I pray that you would wash us, that you would cleanse us, that you would purify us. Lord Jesus, I pray for every person that's under the sound of my voice that has been walking with you for a long time. So many of us we're carrying our greed, and we're carrying self-centeredness. We're ungrateful, and we don't watch the words that we say, and we lack discipline. Lord Jesus, I pray that as these words went forth, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit begin to convict us about one or two places that we need to pay attention to in our lives. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask you to wash us, cleanse us. Lord, forgive us, Lord God. And Lord Jesus, all over again, we say yes to you. We say yes to your will. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.